So we are in week three of our series, Crossing the Jordan. And can we just say thank you real quick for our tech team? I know that that's stressful when the computer dies, but they've got it working. So thank you to our tech team. So we're in this week three, and we've talked already through last week, Rahab. And I was just about to go there. We're dismissing the kids. Thank you. The kids are dismissed. Have fun, kids, at Junior Church. I was going to try and do what I did last week, but he ruined it. Man. We talked about Rahab last week, and then the week before that, we talked about the charge that God gives to Joshua, and then that Joshua gives to the Israelites, right? And so today, this sermon is titled Faithful Steps. Faithful Steps. The Israelites at no time heard directly from God themselves. When they were told that they needed to cross over the Jordan River and go into Jericho, they were listening to their leaders. They were trusting that their leaders were listening to God, and they took faithful steps. They trusted. Today, as we continue this series, our text is going to come from Joshua chapter 3. So if you want to open your Bibles and be ready for that, we're going to get there in just a second. But this is where the Israelites, again, are about to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land, a land that God had promised them for a while, that they were anticipating, they were excited about going into the Promised Land. And the central theme of chapter 3 that we're going to explore is the importance of trusting God because He is faithful to us. Do you believe that this morning? This is a powerful testimony of the Israelites and how to discover that we can discover this morning how it applies to our lives, that we can have faith and trust in God just as they did. We're going to get started in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It'll be on the screen. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. We see that the officers go through the camp 3 days after the Israelites had arrived at the banks of the Jordan. They waited. They got there and they waited. The officers tell the people of Israel that the people must wait for the priests carrying the ark. When they see the priests in the ark, they are to move out and follow the priests. The officers tell them that the priests will lead the people of Israel since they have never been there before. They needed a GPS. I'm not sure that the priests had been there before either, but they were following the priests. We also see in verse 5 that Joshua tells the people to purify themselves. So what did it mean for them to purify themselves? I think we could easily pass by this verse and never give it any mention, but this is the most foundational piece of this entire passage. They couldn't cross the Jordan River until they were spiritually prepared. Their hearts needed to be right to cross over the Jordan into the Promised Land. This cleansing would have included praying, confessing, and fasting. I don't know about you, but I know it's donuts for dads, but I am fasting today. We've talked about Sundays fasting as a church over these last week, this week, and next week. And we're praying tonight at 6:30 p.m. together as a church as we did last week. And in the service right now, I'm going to mess with the camera guy for this, we have these prayer stations, and you can come here at any time and pray. And it is praying for the future. We have a map of Greenwood here so we can pray for our community. We have a few other ones. We have the blueprint of the new building, the new rooms, the new layout. you can pray for each individual room and what God is going to do in that room going forward. We're going to do that again tonight at 6:30 p.m. together as a church. Spiritual preparation before God does something with our church is super important. It was important for the Israelites. It's important for us. Folks, the first 2 weeks we talked about the importance of preparation in both of those weeks. Spiritual preparation is the most important kind of prep we can do. In fact, proper spiritual preparation leads us to trust in God. You need to spiritually prepare your heart if you want to actually trust Him. You need to be prayed up, as my former pastor Eric would say. If you ain't prayed up, you ain't gonna trust God. That's what he would say. Just as the Israelites purified themselves and prepared to cross the Jordan River, we too, as GC NAS, must prepare ourselves spiritually for the challenges, the transitions that we're going to encounter personally and corporately as a church. Trusting in God's promises means aligning our hearts with His Word and seeking His guidance through prayer, meditation, and fasting. We, as the young dads group that meets every Thursday night at my house, we just finished going through the first 6 chapters of the book of Daniel. Did you know that King Nebuchadnezzar fasted? Isn't that crazy? Did you know that King Darius, when Daniel was put in the lion's den, actually fasted because he wanted to make sure that Daniel survived? He got caught in a troubling situation where he had created a law that he shouldn't have created. But he knew that the only way that Daniel was going to be saved from the lions was by going to God in prayer and fasting. So we too, as a church, must go to God in prayer and fasting. We must take practical steps to purify ourselves before the Lord. Folks, this means setting aside time in our lives. This means your lives don't need to be so busy, especially if God is what is being shoved out and it's being filled with things that are not of God. We need to set aside time in our lives for prayer, for being in His Word, and aligning our will with His will. Because whose will comes first? His. Like I said, tonight at 6:30, we have our second night of focused prayer. I encourage you to make that a part of your prayer life this week and next week. If you haven't fasted with us the last couple Sundays, you can fast starting right now. Even dads, if you've already had a donut, you just start fasting now, okay? When we trust in God's promises and we prepare our hearts, we are better equipped to walk in faith and obedience to God. Let's continue reading. Verse 14 of chapter 3. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. It was a flood, it was flooding, right? But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Sarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. How would you have liked to have that job? You know, it's one thing for the Israelites to trust God, but how about those priests? They're standing with a big old box. They're holding this big old box, right? With stone tablets and Aaron's staff in there. And they're standing in the middle of a raging river that God is holding back. They had to trust that God was going to hold it back the whole time, right? That they wouldn't get caught. But God was faithful to them, wasn't He? And they were faithful to Him. They trusted. They trusted God. They put their feet in the water. The water begins to separate. This is the second time in not a very long period of time that God has done this for the Israelites, right? It wasn't that long before this that the Red Sea was parted for them. Here's the point. Before we get to the miracles of verses 15 through 17, where he parts the sea, we can't skip over verse 14. The people of God were obedient. When the priests set out with the ark, the people followed just as they had been instructed. This is a key piece of this passage. If they had not followed the command, they would have missed out on the blessing of seeing God do something amazing. If they would have said to themselves, Joshua's crazy. I am not following these priests. I'm staying right here where it's safe. Look at what they would have missed. Look what they would have missed. They would have missed a miracle. They would have missed seeing God at work. The same is true for us, church. God is moving us forward. And if we stand defiantly and say, I'm not going with the church, you're going to miss out on miracle too. This is important for us to hear. Obedience requires us to take courageous steps. It means we got to get ourselves put aside for a second and trust God and take steps that we don't know the answer of what's coming. Whether you're a priest, whether you're an Israelite, whether you're Joshua yourself, God, you have to trust God and move forward with him. Like I said, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the Jordan River, and they demonstrated for the people obedience and faith in God's power to part the water. Keep in mind, the water was at flood stage. This was a raging river. I don't know about you. I've been around raging rivers before. I don't want to put my feet in a raging river. What do they say? It's like 6 inches of water, if it's moving, can sweep you off your feet as a human, right? Something like that. A raging river? Yeah, I'm not putting my foot in the water unless I absolutely know that God is going to come through and save me and protect me. Amen? And God did. God was faithful to them. The priests had to trust God and follow God as well. I'm sure they had fears. I'm sure they had apprehension. Priests are no different than the rest of us. As a pastor, I'm no different than you. I have fear. I have apprehension. I have worry. But like the priests, we are called to take courageous steps of obedience in our lives. And as a church, even when the path ahead seems uncertain, we must continue to move forward. Let us not hesitate to obey God's commands, trusting that he will guide us and make a way where there seems to be no way. When we take courageous steps of faith and obedience, we position ourselves to witness God's miraculous work in our lives and the lives of people around us, in our church. This principle applies in all areas of our life. Let's look at our last verse. Verse 13, the priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. God made a promise. The faithfulness of God is important to note here. In this verse, Joshua tells the Israelites that God will make something miraculous happen. They were expecting God to do a miracle, and God came through. We've talked about the book of Acts in recent days. God added to their number daily those who were being saved, right? We see that over and over and over again in the book of Acts. God's not done doing that kind of work, church. God still wants to add to his number those who are being saved every single day. All we need to do is follow him. All we need to do is trust him and go behind him. And what he asks us to do, we need to be faithful and do it. And he will make us fruitful. We don't make ourselves fruitful. God makes us fruitful. Just as the Israelites were witnesses to God's work, we too are witnesses. To be effective witnesses, we must actively remember God's faithfulness. How many of you have been in this church for more than 2 decades? A show of hands. More than 25 years. More than 30. Okay? Those of you who have been in the church for a long time, God has been faithful to this church, amen? God has not failed this church. Each and every one of you who is a follower of Jesus Christ, no matter if it's only been a few weeks or several years or several decades, if you look back over your life, there are places to remember where God has moved, where God has been faithful to you, amen? We would not be able to stop listing things if we really put our mind to it, would we? The ways and the manners in which God has been faithful to us, that would be a never-ending list because God is never-ending faithfulness. God has been faithful to us as individuals, and God has been faithful to Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. And I know he's not going to stop being faithful now. We are called to remember and share our testimonies of God's faithfulness with others. And hopefully, that should inspire them to trust in his unfailing love too. You hear me say this often. Church, we need to be intentional about sharing our stories of God's faithfulness. Both in times of blessing and in times of trial, God is present in all of it. God is faithful in all of it. As we bear witness to God's faithfulness, we encourage others to trust in God and to experience his grace in their own lives. As we conclude this morning, some of the band members are going to come, and there's some people coming to do the communion, so you guys can come as well. But as they come, let us hold fast to this bottom line for this morning. We need to trust God because he is faithful to us. We need to trust God because he is faithful to us. Amen? Just as the Israelites trusted in God's promises, took courageous steps of obedience, and bore witness to his faithfulness, may we too walk in faith, anchored in his unfailing love. Let us step forward in faith with hearts prepared, obedient to his leading, and always mindful of his faithfulness. God is faithful, and he will lead us through every Jordan River that we face. And church, there are going to be Jordan Rivers. There are going to be raging rivers that are scary to look at and things that we're afraid of. But if we trust God, we have nothing to fear. Amen? He's bigger than all of it. He can be trusted. And if we trust him as a church, we get to experience miracles that we never imagined possible, and we get to see firsthand his faithfulness in the life of our church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being faithful to us as a church, being faithful to us as individuals. Father, we pray that you would continue to guide and direct our leadership. Father, we are thankful for the leaders that we have. Father, you have called them for such a time as this to lead our church. Father, we have faith in them, just as we have faith in you. Father, we will take those steps in obedience, even when it's scary, even when we don't understand, we're going to trust you, because if there's anybody we can trust, it's you. Father, we love you. Everyone said, amen.